Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. It's just going to be you and me for a little bit. We're doing our best. John Berlaw is scheduled to be here. We're having a little difficulty rounding him up, but we're working on that. You and I are going to continue to march. One of the things that that we were going to talk about and that I want to talk about a little bit is the unintended consequences, or maybe the predictable consequences, of the government getting involved in the marketplace. Now, you've heard me say that a couple of things about the government. Number one, the federal government primarily. Number one is that is a lot of the problems that we have right now, where the government is trying to fix them, and they're hauling people up before them, saying, you know, why? How could you have let this happen? You know, how could you have let this credit meltdown happen? How could you have let this all this stuff happen? How could you have let the car dealers? How could you have let this happen? And the fact that these men and women in Congress can say that to these people, in my opinion, is ridiculous. I mean, at what point in time? Only every 2 years and every 6 years, I guess, depending on the House, do we get to haul those guys up before a panel and say, you know, how could you have let this happen? But for some reason, it doesn't really ever get to that point, does it? Because by the time the election rolls around, you know, a lot of the things that they do as a group gets obscured when you're voting for the individual, right? I mean, I think there ought to be some kind of a mass election, right? And where we haul members of Congress as a group up before us, and we say, how could you have let this happen? I'll give you an example. The housing thing that we've got right now if there's one lead cause of the housing mortgage subprime meltdown, if there's one villain in the whole thing, the number one villain in that whole thing is our government. Because starting in the 70s with Carter and increased as the years have gone by, has been the desire to get more and more people to become homeowners. Now, let me tell you something, folks. That's a wonderful idea. It's a very important, noble idea. It is one of the things that separates America from all other countries. There is no higher percentage of home ownership in the world per capita than in America. And it's one of the things that makes our country what it is. But, you know, my mother always thought that if a little bit was good, a lot must be better. Well, I think the government must have felt that way, only she was right about the things that she was thinking about. some ways, most of the time she was. But the government thought, well, if a little bit of homeownership, if we've got 50% homeowners, or 55 or 60, whatever it is, we should make it 70% home ownership in the United States. But in order to do that, they had to pass certain laws and regulations that created what really were unnatural acts in the marketplace. And what those unnatural acts were to cause people who extend credit to homeowners, to prospective homeowners, to extend credit to people who didn't qualify. Now, and the reason I'm calling it an unnatural act is because for over 100 years, our marketplace, our capital market, our banking system has established a really effective and efficient method of extending credit and knowing when to extend and when not to extend. Who should get credit and who shouldn't, because of their, based on their history and their ability to pay. We know what it takes to make a good mortgage loan. We know what it takes to make a good car loan. We've got that nailed down. We've got it down to a science. And our government went in and monkeyed around with that. They mucked around with it. And that was created an unnatural act. When I come back, we're going to talk about this some more and other ways the government has created problems. And if not unintended, certainly in many ways predictable consequences. 20 till. Stay with us. The Godfather of Soul, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great James Brown bringing us back. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Classic. Classic soul. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and it's always fun to come back with little James Brown in the background. I'm talking about the government intervention, government's involvement, their hand in the problems that we've got right now. And literally, ladies and gentlemen, literally, and I mean this, I believe this with all my heart, were it not for government intervention, if the government had not created these, what I'm calling these unnatural acts in the marketplace through their own laws and regulations, we wouldn't be sitting here with the problems we have today. That's right. All these problems we have today, we would not be having any of them. Well, at least I'll say 8 out of 10 of them, we would not be having them. I'm going to give you some more examples. The Community Reinvestment Act is, a minute ago I was talking about, in the previous segment, I was talking about the government requiring people to loan money, to the banks to loan money to people who couldn't really qualify for a mortgage. Even though we know what it takes to qualify for a mortgage, we know we've got it down to the nth degree, to a science, what it takes for people to be able to pay back a mortgage, to be able to pay back a car loan. Whatever it might be, we know the credit protocols, the credit structure in this country is par excellence. This has no peer in the world, and yet the government chose to mucky around with that by creating and expanding something called the Community Reinvestment Act (CRA), which requires banks to loan money to people who can't afford it. Doesn't matter what race they are, doesn't matter where they live, none of that matters. This is not about that. This is about simply not qualifying for a mortgage. And of course, then the marketplace takes that kind of a thing, and this is where the marketplace has complicity. The marketplace takes that kind, those kinds of regulations and laws, and runs with them, and creates products for these things. Then you have the government, another government involvement. The Fed has a very easy, what they call accommodative money supply, monetary policy back in the early part of this decade, where interest rates were way low for much longer. You heard Steve Forbes came on the show back in 02 and 03 and 04. He said money is too cheap. We got to get money. We got too much money in the economy. He warned us about this. Steve Forbes did right here on the show. And he was right, because all that money had to go somewhere. And where it went, when you combine the money availability with the government's demand for expanding the Community Reinvestment Act, and then the marketplace natural ability to take that kind of supply and to create products for it, that supply and that demand, and create products that they can profit from, that's what happened. And then they securitized all those mortgages, the marketplace did. The Wall Street primarily securitized all those mortgages that were made, many of them, way too many, to people who couldn't afford the homes. They securitized those mortgages, once. And that was a good thing because that added value. But then they securitized them the second time, which added no value, only created fees. And that's when it became a problem, because at that point, at that level, nobody really knew what the value of those assets were. And it was difficult to tell what was toxic and what wasn't toxic. And that created a scenario where nobody wanted to buy those securities. So they couldn't trade the securities. For example, if you owned a stock of some stock in some company, and all of a sudden, you know, the company didn't go bankrupt, the company's still making their products, they're still selling stuff, but for some reason, let's say nobody wanted to buy any shares. Let's say some big company, one of the big 10 companies that has tens of millions of shares sold every day. That was the market for those shares at some price. Let's say all of a sudden nobody wanted to buy any of those shares. Think about what that would do. Well, that's kind of what happened with these mortgage-backed securities. And when the market collapsed on those securities, and then here's another government intervention, another government's hand, the accountants at the Securities and Exchange Commission have imposed something called mark-to-market. Now, mark-to-market means that every so often, I'm not sure how often, quarterly, monthly, I'm not sure when, but quite regularly, companies who own these securities, these investment banks, for example, who own those securities, those mortgage-backed securities that have been re-leveraged, they have to mark that asset to market value on their balance sheet. And even though they were doing business, even though they were actually financially sound, when they had to take those assets that were now not worth anything or worth almost nothing because nobody wanted to buy them, they had to mark those assets, which say had been valued at a dollar. Now they had to mark them down to one penny, let's say. Look at what that does to your financial statement, your balance sheet of these corporations. That's how they got into trouble. So we had the Community Reinvestment Act, we had the Fed money policy, we had the SEC mark-to-market regulations. Those three things, folks, are government policies, bad policies, ill-advised policies, stupid, some of them stupid policies. All those three things did more to create the nightmare that we're in right now, the economic nightmare that we're in right now, anything else, much more than the marketplace. Think about that. Let's next time you cast a vote. Tintel, come back. I got more to come. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's our knowledge base. And my blog is jimsblog.biz. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get to smallbusinessadvocate.com. But you can also when you get there, just go to that one place if you want. You can find my blog link there. You can find the link to the knowledge base. Lots and lots of stuff there to help you with your company, with your small business, help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I'm talking about some of the things that our government has, how they've contributed to the problems that we have. You know, I was talking about mark-to-market when we went to the break. Ladies and gentlemen, most, if you think about it, it's the number of subprime homes, subprime mortgages that are out there is really a tiny, tiny fraction of the overall homes. The problem is that they're mixed in with a lot of good performing mortgages. And see, that's what makes no sense about this mark-to-market thing. Because these securities are not being traded, or nobody wants to buy them, or they haven't wanted to, and that doesn't mean that there are not any assets in those securities that are worthwhile. I mean, most of the mortgages in these securitized mortgage assets are performing, but because nobody knows how much of one or the other is performing, that makes people not want to buy. And so we've got ourselves into this problem, and the government keeps throwing money. I mean, in unprecedented ways. Look at all the things the government has done in the last 6 months, less than 12 months, to intervene in the marketplace. And what has happened? Now, think about this, folks. Look at the not only the money, the billions and trillions, actually, now, total, I don't know, it's way over $1 trillion. The government has intervened. That's our money, by the way. That's my money and your money. Never mind the money for a moment. Look at the precedents that have been established. Look at the unprecedented things that the government has done to intervene in the economy. And then look at how things are going. Think about that now. Think about how much money has been spent. How many unnatural acts have been created. How much jawboning but also how much the government owns 60-70% of AIG right now. Did you know that? They're going to take a position in these car companies. I'm not sure how much they own of other companies. The government owns parts of these companies. Unprecedented. Basically, AIG, ladies and gentlemen, was nationalized. Nationalizing a company is what, that's what Russia does. That's what Mexico does. That's what Venezuela does. They nationalize. That's the reason people don't want to invest in those companies, in those countries, as much, because they're afraid that the government will nationalize the company and take all their assets. This is what's happened to some of these companies. The government has nationalized them. Unprecedented. But yet, okay, so maybe we could say, well, what have we gotten for our money? What have we gotten for these unprecedented things? Well, okay, we haven't gone into a depression. Okay, the thing didn't get worse, at least not badly worse. So to some degree, it did get worse. So maybe they stopped the bleeding. Maybe they stopped the free fall. Maybe they stopped the plane from spiraling into the ground. But I think they thought things were going to get better, that their intrusion, their money, was going to actually make things turn around. Well, guess what? I think they've learned a lesson about the marketplace. Hopefully they have. I know I have. I know that the marketplace wants to see itself right itself. I think the marketplace says, okay, if we've got to have the government to bail us out, you know, this is not natural. This is not good. And I think it just makes everybody really nervous and kind of frightened a little bit. And it does me. I tell you that, it does me. I'm worried, I'm concerned about the next 12 to 36 months of our economy. But all this government intervention, here's my question. How do we get the government out of the marketplace? How do we get the government to disconnect? How do we get them to uninvest in the marketplace? How do we get them out? I'm afraid that in over the next several years, and with the Obama administration coming in right now, I'm concerned that even if when they do leave in terms of ownership, that the residual is going to be a lot more regulations, and that's frightening to me. It's just something to think about. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back one more hour after this one.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.